It is great to have you listening to The Morning Show today. I am Phil Nee. We have the chance to chat about Weston and all the things going on for the Silver Eagles. Molly Kasten, District Administrator, 7th through 12th Principal, our guest here in The Morning Show studios. Molly, how you been?
I'm good. How about you?
Great. The school year is just flying, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's hard to believe we're already at spring break, so we only have one quarter of the year left.
Is Weston on spring break this week, then,
yep.
This week?
Our students are on break this week through Monday. They have off, but we have a staff work day that day, so staff can come back and prepare for the last quarter of the year.
Things going well with the season this year, the school district?
Yep, things are moving along pretty well.
Mm-hmm. You have the election coming up. Of course, we want to start out talking a little bit about that with April 7th, the election day, and you've got another referendum to look at. I know you've been working on it for quite some time, haven't you?
Yes, we have. We have another referendum on the ballot operational, and it is a $1.5 million non-recurring operational referendum for the next 3 years to continue ongoing operational expenses. And this is the same as we had last year at the when we had the election, but we did have to make many cuts to get to that point to be able to have that number where we were at, because just like many individuals are experiencing rising costs in insurance, heating, food, gas, all of those things, so is our school district. And so it took a lot to get to that point of what that was, the number we were able to come in at.
And you already have to start planning for next year, so I understand you've already made some cuts for the next school year, haven't you?
Yes, we have. During this school year, we had a couple of resignations that we had our school nurse resigned, which is a position we will not be replacing. And then we also had an elementary teacher that resigned as well. And what we did is we have, in our elementary, we have a couple of classes that have very small numbers. And so we simply asked if one of our teachers would be willing to move to kindergarten. And then we asked another teacher if she would be willing to teach a combined class, because combined there was 16 or 17 students in that class. And so that is how we finished out the school year for that. And that is how we want to for next year. We wanted to make a change where we're not replacing that other teaching position, so that we're keeping those teaching numbers down in our elementary.
You've had a chance to be out in the district and speak for in front of some of your town boards and whatnot. What's your feeling? I mean, what have you been seeing and hearing from the district?
Well, I feel like the district has done a really good job this time of getting out and communicating. And we've done this since before Christmas. We were making sure that we were getting our voice out there so people knew what was really at stake and what we were looking at. We were talking about it even before we had the numbers figured out, because we felt it was important to get out there and let people know. I feel good about the communication that we've done. I think there's some areas we could have done a little bit better on, but I feel like this year we really did a good job of getting out and communicating and sharing information with people.
The overriding thing, the feedback probably is taxes, and I know it's a tough time for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, and we understand that. We understand, because we're in a similar situation where homes, you know, families are struggling with costs, the increasing costs of gas, groceries, all of those things, and then to add on additional taxes, we understand what a burden that is. And that's something that we're experiencing as well, because we have increased healthcare costs and property insurance and all of those things are increased for us as well without an increase in income or revenue.
You've talked a little bit about combining classes, Molly. Could you speak a little bit more about that?
So this year, we combined our first and second grade classes for the second half of the year. And it was one of our more veteran teachers that took on that task, and she's done a really good job with that. You know, it was something we hadn't done for a while. It had been done years ago that there were some combined classes, but it's working. It's worked okay throughout the second half of the year. And so what we came up with for next year is we did not want to add and hire another teacher for the elementary. And so when I talked to Jason Meyer, our elementary principal, I said, what I would like to do is I would like to meet with the elementary teachers, and I would like us to talk about what it could look like. What are some suggestions they have that we could do? Because, you know, maybe someone else has a different experience. Maybe somebody else has a better idea of what we could do to meet the needs of our students with the lower numbers we have. And so we met with our teachers. Jason also sent out a survey to staff in case they didn't feel comfortable talking so that they could share some ideas. And we met a couple of times. And what we're doing next year is our third, fourth, and fifth grade classes will be somewhat combined with two teachers. And the two teachers that are teaching that class they're the teachers, they decided that they wanted to do this. And one of those teachers has had an experience teaching in a multi-age classroom before. And so one of the teachers will be teaching math and science, and the other will be teaching English language arts and social studies. So that's for our third, fourth, and fifth grade. And one of the reasons, and this was a suggestion by staff, and we explored it and looked at it, and we're not exactly certain on what exactly it's going to look like, but we've started planning for this. And we'll have in April at our policy and instruction meeting, there will be a presentation from the teacher and the elementary principal talking about what their plans are so far. And then we will also meet in April with the parents of the students in those classes so that they have an idea what this looks like. One of the benefits of having the third, fourth, and fifth combined in that way is it gives us stability for 4 years of some of our smaller classes, that it's not like a teacher needs to combine first and second grade and then learn the second and third grade curriculum as the kids move up. It gives us stability for 4 years before we have some bigger classes coming in.
That's kind of the way it used to be done. And I think sometimes maybe it reinforces something that, you know, let's say it's third, fourth, the fourth graders learned the year before, but it kind of reinforces those kind of things. And then it also encourages the third graders to step up and learn a little bit higher level too.
Yeah. And you know, there will be some times where they will just get their third, fourth, or fifth grade instruction. But also one of the things that we have in our literacy program is we do book clubs where kids are reading books and talking about books as part of our program. And having those combined classes, when you have students that are reading at a higher level, they will have more opportunities to be able to push up where they're able to, you know, if you're a third grader reading at a higher than a fifth or sixth grade level, you'll have an opportunity to be able to have some of those conversations with your peers and reading those books. And the same with math. You know, if you need a special math group for a specific skill you're struggling in, it won't really matter if it's third, fourth, or fifth. You'll be able to group those kids and provide that extra support. Or if a kid is needing something stretching them beyond their grade level, there's a little bit more flexibility to be able to do that.
They're going to combine classes whether or not the referendum passes on the 7th of April then.
That is correct. And so that's our plan for the next, you know, we plan this for the next 4 years to be a way of, because you don't want to be changing something like a structure like that, you know, every other year. It makes it very difficult and not sustainable for our staff. So that's our plan. And our staff is looking forward to it, I think, because they also were able to, they were a part of the solution. And then staff decided which teachers were going to take what grade levels within, you know, what their licensing requirements are. So we had a little bit of movement, but since I think it's sometimes when you're moving people around, it's kind of scary for them. But in this case, the staff were the ones that decided where they were best fit. And we agreed, you know, we thought, yep, that would work. So we're pretty excited about next year for our elementary. I think it's a unique approach for us to try. and a good way to manage those small numbers that we currently have in some of our elementary classes.
Well, Molly, I know you're really proud of your staff at Weston. Maybe you could highlight them a little bit.
Yeah, we are so fortunate to have the staff that we do. Right now, it's not an easy time being in a district when you have had a referendum that failed. You have another one on the ballot. You know, people are always worried in a school, you know, how long their position will be there. You know, is their position going to be cut? What happens if this, you know, like people are always questioning what happens if the school closes? And it's hard. You know, you don't have a lot of answers for people. But in spite of these challenges, our staff is continuing to push forward and coming up with solutions to the problems we're facing. You know, going through that process with our elementary teachers for them to find the solution with our support. We didn't just say, hey, you guys figure this out. You know, Jason and I are out of this. We wanted to know what they thought would be possible. And so we told them, you know, think about don't think of anything as not being something we could do. Let's really think out of the box. And they took that, and that was really great. And they came up with solutions. You know, our staff, when you remove a teacher or a staff member, you know, as I've spoke about, we had to cut our library media specialist position for next year. And we will be filling that through a contracted service through CESA 5. She had taught some library media, library specials, information technology literacy courses is what she was teaching in our elementary. And so that still has to be filled. And so we had to do some staffing adjustment a little bit and have someone that can fill that need. And when I talked to staff about it, that was one of our junior high staff members. She was more than willing. She's like, yeah, absolutely. I can do that. And we had to do some adjustments. So, you know, this means that some of our staff also will have to have get some additional licensing, but they're all willing to do that. So it's been good to see that. And then also next year at our high school, we have three new advanced placement courses that will be taught. This past year, we've had, for the past 2 years, only one AP class, though we have several transcripted credits and offer dual credit and early college credit. We haven't had any other than the one advanced placement course. But then I had two new staff come to me this spring, and they're like, hey, can I teach an AP class? And I said, absolutely, if that's what you want to do. And so they applied, and it was approved. And so we will have three new advanced placement courses on our schedule for next year. So that was good to see staff really, you know, embracing that and, you know, trying to provide more opportunities for our students.
Mm-hmm. You've had some of the staff members in here, you know, in the past couple of years, Molly, and I'm always amazed at, in fact, I think your music teacher she wears multiple hats, doesn't she?
Yeah, you can't work at our school and not wear multiple hats.
Yeah.
Our music teacher is the advisor for the Sheep Project, you know, and everybody has, in order to have almost a full day, you have to have different responsibilities that you have. You know, our technical education teacher, he's also our technology support person and takes care of our Skyward administration, which is our student information system. So everybody has kind of their niche of what they are good at and what their passions are, and we're able to fit that together for them.
Lots of positive things going on in the district.
There is.
We'll come back and talk more about Weston in a moment with Molly Kasten. You're listening to The Morning Show on WRCO. Molly Kasten from Weston is our guest in the morning show studios today on WRCO. It's been another good year of school at Weston. Coming down there, I know you've got music concerts and some club contests and things like that coming up in the next couple of months, Molly.
Yes, we do. May 1st, we have it's a big art and music festival at the school, and we have our elementary and junior high and high school music programs will have that day, and our art will be displayed. And we're very fortunate to have the staff, again, that we do, that put together these events. You know, this wasn't something that was ever asked of them, that they came to us to have this. It's called the Hidden Treasures of Weston. And, you know, we have a theme, and it's combined with the art that the kids are producing and then the music that they put out there, that's all based on that theme. And it's a really good good day for our kids. And we've done something different last year and this year, is we've had our band and choir concerts, our junior high and high school, during the day. And the reason we've done that is because of the difficulty with scheduling sports. And we don't want kids to have to choose between their sport and a class or the music. And so we've had it during the day. And that's something we feel it's, you know, I understand it's difficult for parents sometimes, but it's been, I feel better for the kids that they don't have to choose. And with all the issues with sports, when you have a cancellation for many different reasons, there are times that even you can't completely block out a date and say, we can't have something here because we have a concert. It's hard. And so this way it removes one of those barriers. So we're looking forward to that on May 1st.
You have good numbers out for softball in your co-op team with Ithaca. That's one of the higher numbers of softball players I've seen from any of the schools, any size in the area.
Which is fantastic. I am so glad to see that. You know, our female athletes have had their struggles at Weston over the past few years. They've not been able to have full teams in many different areas, and I am so glad to see our softball team coming together like this. And I think it's a good sign of things to come and building a good program, because when you have a JV team that's going to be playing JV and playing many games, that's how you develop a program. And they're also combining for the youth program, which, you know, playing together at an early age and making sure these girls are playing, because you cannot, you know, it is not easy to not play softball, fast pitch softball, and step out your freshman year and start playing and be highly competitive. So it's really good that they're getting that program going. They played together, I think, last year, maybe the year before, but really focusing on that together, and so glad to see the numbers that we have.
Another thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that the district employs a lot of people, you know, not just your teachers. I mean, the support staff and everybody, right?
Yeah, we are in our district. We are one of the major employers. I know Loretta Bormat, our director of business services, had said, I think she said 93 W-2s is what she had sent out, which that would be for coaches, different advisors. We do have some part-time staff that we now hire. We have some substitutes. And so there's a lot of people that are a part of our district. And so we have a pretty big team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely do. So the election is next Tuesday. You're looking at some things down the stretch here. Do you have any other meetings or community information sessions?
I will be at the Cazenovia Town Hall tomorrow from 9 to 10. Doing a Q&A, getting more information if anybody has them. They can also reach out to me. Obviously, I'm not on spring break this week. My spring break destination includes Weston and Cazenovia, so you can find me in my office most time or give me a call. So if anybody has any questions on anything, be glad to talk with them or meet with them. And I do believe we have a home baseball game tomorrow night.
Hopefully. Yeah, keep your fingers crossed.
I'm not watching the weather because I don't have to cancel anything right now, so I haven't even looked at the weather. So hopefully there is a game tomorrow night.
Yeah, the weather hasn't always been accurate, so you never know.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about next steps, you know, if the referendum passes, Molly, and if it doesn't.
So if our referendum passes, of course we're going to continue to monitor and evaluate our staffing needs. That's just appropriate that you have to, you know, if you have a declining enrollment or have students not taking specific classes, that you make sure you're meeting the needs of students and being aware of what your staffing needs are. Always looking for continued cost savings, which means sharing services, maybe getting contracted services. you know, and also making sure that we get a chance to market, you know, what we have to offer to bring in more students through open enrollment, because our what we have at Weston is a great thing. We have a lot of unique offerings for many people, and it's a good fit for some students. And we are a small school with caring staff that really care about the kids, and it's something that we need to make sure that people are aware of that and focus our efforts on that, that we've been spending with getting information out about our referendum. And then also looking at long-term planning. What are our building needs? Any updates? Continually monitoring those student numbers so that we know if we have to make any adjustments in our staffing. So, you know, all of that will continue as the if the referendum passes.
Your buildings and grounds, everything's pretty stable there.
Yeah, we the community spent, they invested in the last time we had a referendum, it was a capital project. And so our grounds are pretty up, you know, have been kept up and look pretty good right now. But there's still things that you have to, you know, monitor and plan for, you know, looking at your boilers, your HVAC system, and some of those things to see what you may need to be repairing and maintaining over the years.
Yeah, that's inevitable.
It is.
And what about if it does not pass on Tuesday?
If the referendum does not pass, we will be looking at a state trust fund loan. And then also we will be on the November 2026 ballot. And so we will need to also look at some possible additional programming and staffing cuts for the 26-27 school year. We will have to reevaluate where we will look at is at the end of the year in seeing where our budget lies and what we need to do to make those. But we will come back then in November.
A lot of talk about consolidation. You know, the state has been, you know, it's kind of maybe rumored that that's one of the things that they're pushing and things like that. It's not necessarily a cure-all, though, is it, for high taxes and other things people are concerned with?
No, when you're consolidating with another district, there is an extensive process with that, but also remembering that the debts of both districts are then combined. So your debt does not go away. And also, there could be some cost savings in some areas, where in other areas there may be increased costs. There is also the thing too is that I think people often think that if a district were to consolidate with another district, that would mean that we would no longer be going on these, you know, going out for an operational referendum. And I don't think that's the case, because if you look at our neighbors, because that's who we would look at, because you're going to want to have someone nearby, all of them are on a referendum cycle similar to ours. Some are different. There's some districts that have had a recurring referendum and then had to come back with some others, but we're all in this cycle. It's not like this is just a Weston issue.
Yeah, the state funding, we've talked about it oftentimes, and I know you've talked to your representatives. Anything new to report on that?
No, it's, you know, the same, you know, it's not a Weston issue, it's a statewide issue, you know, and the state is not adequately and equitably funding education. And, you know, my kids should be able to attend a school in the district that they live in and have many of the same opportunities as other students have in different districts. But it shouldn't be that a family has to make a decision to either move or change districts somehow so that their kids can have those different educational opportunities. Because what happens is it's only people with means that can do that. So for open enrollment, if a family open enrolls, they have to be able to transport and get their child to that school. And you have to have the means to do that. So, you know, it's really unfortunate that we're in the position we're in. You know, I don't want our district to become a casualty because we have so little that, you know, going through this process multiple times can really harm us.
I know there's been talk, you know, in other states, I believe Iowa has like one school in each county. But, you know, the other thing is, you know, think about is busing. I mean, there's a chance there's a student in northern Richland County, they'd be on the bus quite a long time.
Yeah, in our district alone, you know, the buses leave at 3:10 about is when they leave, and the buses start getting back to school between 4 and 4:10. And so that's, you know, about 45 minutes or so on the bus for some of the kids. And if you were to expand your district, that's going to be a longer time that mm-hmm. these kids are on buses. You know, how big of a district is too big? And I don't mean just the number of students, I mean physical size, right? How big of a district is too big to you know, bus everyone and to spread everybody out over?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. So you're going to be out and about. You're available if somebody would like to, you know, talk to you, you know, express concerns and those kind of things. And you've probably heard it all so far in terms of yay and nay, haven't you?
I've heard a lot of people having questions, and I understand where they're coming from. You know, people are concerned, like we've talked about their costs. They have limited income. They have, you know, they have rising costs everywhere else too. And I really understand that. And I understand how difficult this is for everybody. You know, there's people that, you know, they want to have our school, but they're strapped as well, you know? So it's a really unfortunate situation that our district is in.
If the referendum passes on Tuesday, then how long is that good for then?
Through 2028, I believe.
Okay.
I believe. 3 years. I haven't done the math on that. Mm-hmm. It's in my binder here, but it's a 3-year referendum.
Okay. And then you're always hopeful that things maybe are going to change statewide in that time.
Yes. And that's one of the reasons we've stayed with the 3-year time frame, is we are hopeful that something will change at the state level, so that we're only asking for what we need to get by, in the hopes that something is going to be changing. Because again, it's not just us experiencing this, it's many school districts in the state of Wisconsin.
It's going to take some of those that were on the fence last time to come through with yes votes for you, right?
That would be, yep, that's accurate.
Next week.
Next week.
Good deal. You just want to encourage people to get out and vote.
Yes, make sure to, you know, we want everybody to feel like they've been heard, and make sure that they know, you know, and that they have the information that they need to be able to make an informed decision.
Well, the small schools, and I can't think of one better than Weston in terms of being the center of the community, you know, you don't want to lose that identity, do you?
No. And, you know, I appreciate how engaged the community has been in this process. They have shown up for presentations at different township meetings. They've been asking questions. They've called. They've emailed. I've had people come and talk to me at different school events. And I understand, like I say, that it's been very difficult for many people that are experiencing the same thing that we are as the school district. And I do not want the district to become a casualty due to the inability of the state to find a solution to adequately and equitably fund education.
Well, thanks for your knowledge today and your information. You're going to be coming back another month or so and bringing along some students and kind of talking about some of their fine accomplishments there.
Yes, we will.
We look forward to that.
All
Molly,
right. Thank you.
Yeah, Molly Kasten joining us, District Administrator, 7th through 12th Principal in the Weston School District.